And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, listen, I led off just a little bit there right before the break, let you know that there is a law in Alabama. We gave an award for it when I was at the Alabama Policy Institute. Campus freedom of speech law in Alabama went into effect in 2019, and what appears to be the very first challenge to brought that 2019 law is currently before the Alabama Supreme Court. It appears that the lower courts dealing with this case, ruled in favor of the university, this case being University of Alabama Huntsville, UAH. And in what is may very well be a premature dismissal, it has been appealed. The Alliance Defending Freedom, a national organization that fights for matters of civil liberty and religious freedoms, they have intervened on behalf of a student group in Alabama, and it's interesting to watch this thing unfold, because this is something that has national import, in my opinion, but it also says a lot about what's going to happen with Alabama's law. Well, coming on the air with us right now is a guy named Matthew Hoffman. Matthew serves as legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. He clerked previously with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. He got his J.D., his Juris Doctorate degree, from the University of Notre Dame Law School, where he graduated summa cum laude. He is with the Alliance Defending Freedom and is here to talk to us about this case, which went before the Alabama Supreme Court for oral arguments yesterday, I believe. Matthew, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on, Phil.
Absolutely. Well, listen, update us. Give us, if you would, the status of the lower court, where the proceedings were, and then how the appeal and the oral arguments went yesterday.
Absolutely. Just as you said, Phil, we filed suit last year against the University of Alabama Huntsville for violating the Alabama Campus Free Speech Act. And specifically, the act, among other things, prohibits universities from quarantining speech to small zones on campus and from requiring advance permission for students to spontaneously speak on their own campus. The university does both of those in this case, unfortunately, so we filed suit last year. The lower court quickly dismissed our case, and so we thought that was wrong, and so we appealed right away to the Alabama Supreme Court to kind of get that decisive judgment on this claim. So the oral arguments were heard yesterday in Andalusia. We believe it went well. I think the justices expressed some concern that the circuit court, as you said, just kind of summarily dismissed the case. And so I think we're cautiously optimistic that we could be moving forward with this case. And I do agree with you that it is an issue of national concern. I mean, not only for all college students in Alabama and their free speech rights, but many other states have passed an act similar to Alabama's, and the Alabama Supreme Court is the first chance to interpret it and interpret it broadly to protect our fundamental liberties.
Well, listen, let me ask you, Matthew, because, you know, I couldn't help but notice what seemed like some of the snide commentary or comments being made by the attorneys for University of Alabama Huntsville. Things like, this was nothing but what they called a Sturm und Drang, which is a German phrase that basically means you were trying to create some kind of a rousing action to stir people up to emotionalism. It's far more than that. I mean, this is, if you're an originalist, this is a matter of constitutional rights. But your plaintiffs in this case, Young Americans for Liberty, they hadn't actually been denied the opportunity to speak, but they were concerned about the future opportunities to speak. Am I correct?
Well, I think there's two points on that, Phil. One, by requiring prior permission for all student speech, you know, you kind of subject it to this prior restraint, advanced permission. So I think that does effectively deny speech. But then also, as you said, yes, the Young Americans for Liberty chapter is concerned that, you know, these requirements will chill student speech in the future and presently, and not make them not want to talk about anything because they don't want to go through the bureaucratic process to get advanced permission to speak.
Well, so the case was dismissed by the circuit court in Alabama, went up to the Supreme Court for oral arguments, which, by the way, you know, just being a practicing attorney here in the state, I know that oral arguments are not always the norm. Sometimes they're just determined on briefs. Did you guys request the oral arguments, or did UAH?
We requested the oral argument because this is, you know, the first case under the law and the first case of its kind in the nation. So we wanted the opportunity to present to the Alabama Supreme Court on the issue of public importance. And also, we were thankful that the court granted oral argument and specifically slated it for a special hearing at a Lurleen B. Wallace Community College in Andalusia and invited, I believe, several hundred students to come and watch. And I think that, you know, is all the more meaningful because it's those students' free speech rights that are currently or possibly in the future that are kind of at stake in how the court interprets the law.
Well, you've got a fairly conservative group of Supreme Court justices. So do you have an indication from, I mean, did they question you in any certain way or I know they probably didn't make comment necessarily from the bench, but did they ask any questions that led you to believe which way they were thinking?
I would say we're cautiously optimistic. I know, and as you're a lawyer, it's always a fool's errand to predict a court's judgment, but
yeah.
We are optimistic, I think, because there were several questions from several justices about, you know, wasn't this just premature to dismiss it outright, which we agree with. And there was also some questions about, you know, what can the university do? Because certainly students have these fundamental rights, but, you know, it's not kind of a free-for-all on campus. And you know, we never argued that it should be. I mean, the only permit students need to speak on campus is the First Amendment or the Alabama free speech protection. But the university can still implement, you know, appropriate kind of like volume limitations or capacity limitations if things become unsafe. So we discussed those issues, too. And I think in that way, we gave the justices a good framework to rule in our favor. And I think we're optimistic that they'll do so.
Well, your organization, ADF, I mean, this is what you do. This is in your wheelhouse. But I'm not familiar with, you know, your own individual dockets. Do you guys have other cases like this regarding campus free speech in other states? And what kind of results have you seen?
Yes, we do. So I'm a legal counsel on the Center for Academic Freedom, and we have a team of several attorneys who this is what we do all day, every day, and we're very blessed to be able to do that. So we work on a lot of academic freedom and free speech issues on campus, and specifically with regard to these campus free speech acts. We don't have any currently pending suits on other acts, but I think, you know, to the extent there are violations in other states that have these form of these acts to protect student speech, we'll be looking into that. And just in general, we do challenge unlawful speech codes on university campuses and speech zones, and we've had great success in doing so. So this, unfortunately, is an ongoing issue, and that's why one of the reasons why the legislature had to pass this act in the first place, because it enshrines free speech principles, but basically universities and even universities in Alabama were not protecting speech as they're constitutionally required to do so.
Yeah, well, and I totally agree. Now, let me ask you just maybe a little bit further on that, too. You obviously clerked at the 11th Circuit. This is an Alabama case. We are in the 11th Circuit. Have there been any other cases that were, you know, that were dealt with within the 11th Circuit that would provide some kind of a secondary precedent to where we are right now?
I think, well, so there have been multiple campus free speech cases before. This one's a little bit unique because it's a student challenging the policy, which is even more meaningful because, you know, campuses are designed for student speech, for participating in a marketplace of ideas and debating ideas amongst fellow students to kind of discover knowledge and advance their education. So I think that's what makes it unique and different from some of the previous 11th Circuit cases. I will say, though, that the legislature, when it passed the law, this wasn't a court case, to my knowledge, but it did have evidence that, for example, the University of Alabama administrators censored a pro-life display just because someone complained it offended them, and that's one of the contributing factors to why the law was passed. So, you know, to the extent it's student speech on campus, I'm not aware of 11th Circuit precedent, but there are certainly, you know, real-world examples of this going on and why that was necessary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a national issue, and I know the Goldwater Institute and others have been active on the issue. ADF's been active on the issue. The law that was passed in 2019, the interesting dynamic there for me is that I actually gave an award. I was in the leadership of Alabama Policy Institute at the time, and I gave an award to the bill sponsor, State Representative Matt Friday, for passing this bill in 2019, and then he actually sits now on the Court of Civil Appeals, which is also another interesting dynamic. But, you have any indications how long it's going to take for them to render a decision on this?
They have no time frame in which they can rule. So we're hoping for results within the next few months or several months, but we don't know exactly when. But hopefully within that time frame.
In the meantime, is UAH still persisting in the policy, or have they administratively put the policy on hold while they, you know, like, have they enjoined themselves, I guess is what I'm saying?
Unfortunately, they continue to have the policy on the books, and our understanding is that it is valid on campus. And, you know, we asked the Alabama Supreme Court to hear this case quickly and hopefully to issue a quick decision precisely because of that ongoing censorship on campus. So we're hopeful, you know, they granted this oral argument, which we're grateful for. And then based on that, we're hopeful for a relatively quick decision, but it is in the court's hands.
Well, and, you know, the other interesting, and I'm glad y'all did get an expedited hearing, but the other interesting dynamic of this is UAH is part of the actual University of Alabama system. So there's multiple campuses here, UAB, the main campus at Tuscaloosa, that all of which technically could interact in this regard, and I'm glad that it's a UA, not just one of the private colleges or something like that, that's dealing with this this case, because that has broader implications, I think.
I think that's absolutely correct, and not only for the University of Alabama system, but then just the precedent that the Alabama Supreme Court will set, and hopefully it'll be a good one, will apply to all public institutions in Alabama and protect those students on all campuses.
Well, listen, Matthew, I appreciate your time today. Before we leave, do you want to tell anybody, if they want to find out more about Alliance Defending Freedom, where they can find out about you or you know, support your work?
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Phil. I think the best resource for everyone is to go to our website, www.adflegal.org. You can find case updates, the kind of issues we talk about, free speech, free exercise, right to life. And, you know, we appreciate all prayers. And there's also, if you're so inclined and willing, a donation page on our website. And, you know, we appreciate just learning about the cases and becoming more involved as you'd like. And the website's a great portal to do that.
All right. Matthew Hoffman, Alliance Defending Freedom, thanks for your work on this. Keep us posted. If something changes, maybe we can have you back on later, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Phil. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, that was a great segment. Boomer, go ahead and move us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come back and take this segment to its conclusion. This is not just an Alabama issue. This is a national issue. This is a constitutional issue. If you believe in freedom of speech, you have to believe in freedom of speech. And the very idea that, you know, you can only, you know, pass out copies of the Constitution like in that little square over there where no one goes. It's kind of chilling of free speech. What do you think? Right there at UAH here in our listening area. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.